All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. This is a parable, a very important parable that Jesus taught. It's recorded here in Luke, but it's also recorded in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. And I want us to think about who we are in this parable. I'll get to that in just a moment. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. Let's stand in honor of God's word, not as an exercise or anything like that. We want to honor God's word. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Father, we pray you'd help us to see where we are in this parable. God, help us to see the importance of the truth presented here. Lord, help me to be careful about all that I say, and that this preaching will be honoring to you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to look at this passage possibly in a different way than you have looked at it previously. Many messages are preached on this passage, and they're usually focusing on the types of soil that the seed is sown into. I want to consider this from a little different angle. It's not a new truth, nothing new about it. It's just looking at it differently. I want you to notice, first of all, a sower went out to sow his seed. Verse 5 says, a sower went out to sow his seed. It's a particular seed. It's a precise seed. It's a special seed that he goes out and sows. Matthew says it's good seed. It's good seed. We learn in verse 11 that the seed is the word of God. So we know that it's good seed. When the sower sows the seed in this story, as Jesus and the people he was speaking understood, the sower would probably, most likely, have a kind of a pack that he would carry with him. And he would have that pack in hand, and he would reach in and grab a handful of seed and fling it out. That's called broadcasting. He's flinging it out. He's casting it out in a broad way. That term that we have applied to media, especially radio and television, we call that broadcasting today. But the idea came from those days when a sower went out to sow his seed. And he broadcast that seed out. He sent it out in a wide direction. He didn't have machinery to help him plant. And he is most likely planting some sort of grain, but he didn't have machinery to help him in the planting of seed. And notice that the seed goes in a variety of different directions. It goes, you might say, it just goes everywhere. It goes all over. Parts of the field, the byways along the sides of the field are pathways that people have trodden on over time, and they've gotten hardened by where they are, by the passing of people over them. So seed doesn't grow well there. Parts of the field are just naturally rocky. Perhaps a little bit like Missouri. Or at least the Ozarks part of Missouri. Parts of the field were thorny. But the main part of the field was good ground. It was ground where the seed was going to take root. Now I want you to notice something. The sower can only be partially responsible for the condition of the field. He can't go plow up the byway. He can do his part in trying to remove the obstacles of the stones. He can do something to remove some stumbling blocks. But in the end, the one that's going to prepare the heart to receive the seed is going to be the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's work to prepare the soil. So often we get to thinking that it's our work. If the seed didn't take root, it's our fault. And men go out thinking they're going to build a great church and totally forget that it's the work of the Holy Spirit and it's God that gives the increase. Then I want you to notice not only a special seed, a special field, but there are special results. a variety of results depending upon where the seed lands. The failures are the result of the ground. They are not the result of the word or the seed. The seed itself does not fail. It does what it's supposed to do. It will always do what it's supposed to do. But it doesn't fail. Consider Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The seed is always going to do what it's supposed to do. It will not fail. The seed is good seed. It's good seed. It goes in a variety of different ways, though. And it's the Holy Spirit that has to prepare the field. The Holy Spirit has to prepare the field. I want you to notice that even when the seed lands on good ground, the results vary. Now, we read, and I don't want to focus a lot of attention on this. We know that the seed had different results, whether it landed on stony ground or hardened ground from those who passed by on the wayside. We know that there was rocky ground and there was good ground. So it has different results depending upon where it lands. But I want you to notice something else, that even when the soil lands on good ground, did you notice that even when the seed lands on good soil, there are still different results? Even on good ground, there are still different results. Mark 4:20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now we would like for all the seed always bring forth 100-fold. But the truth is it doesn't always bring forth 100-fold. We preachers would like to see great results from every message we preach. We'd like to see great results. We'd like to see every service turn into a revival meeting. That's what we'd like. But truth is, it doesn't work that way. There are different results, even on good ground. But I want you to notice this fact. When the seed lands on good ground, there is always, always, always a greater return than that which is sown. There's a greater return from the with the yield. You don't sow. I remember as a child, my parents had a pretty good sized garden out on my grandparents' farm, and we planted a lot of stuff I didn't understand why we planted. As far as I was concerned, we needed to plant corn and potatoes. And stop. Just corn and potatoes. Forget all the green beans and other stuff. I didn't care for tomatoes. And I just I was worthless. I know. Anybody here ever sown potatoes? Plant potatoes? You quarter them up, don't you? You don't plant a whole potato in the ground. You quarter it up, plant it, and make a hill. When you dig it up, go back to harvest, you see the plants growing up, you dig up the potatoes, do you expect to grow, come back and see a quarter of a potato in the ground with maybe the quarter potato's grown a little bit? No. Expect to dig up a bunch of potatoes with every plant. I like to plant corn. We put 2 kernels seed corn in the ground. Go a little bit further, maybe about a foot away, plant 2 more seeds of corn. Keep doing that. Now, when harvest time came, we saw a field of corn growing up, and we went out to get corn. We did not expect to find 2 kernels of corn on that plant. We expected to find, I don't know, 5 or 6 ears per plant, and I think 100 kernels of corn, about that, on each ear. You expect a greater yield than what you have sown. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. When it falls on good ground, it gives 30-fold, 60-fold, or up to 100-fold. That's 100 times more than what's sown. So, you see the importance of sowing the Word? But I want you to see one more thing. When I planted corn and I planted potatoes, I didn't ask to go out the next day out to Grandma and Grandpa's house to see if the corn was grown. Let's see if the potatoes were ready to dig up. Because it just doesn't happen that way. Notice what Luke says at the end of verse 15. They bring forth fruit with patience. Patience. That's something we all pray for, right? Lord, give me patience and give it to me quick. Yeah? Right? That's pretty much the way we pray for it, isn't it? But harvest time comes in due season. It's not immediate. We would like for the results to be immediate. But they're not. Now let me give you something else to think about. We have basically 3 important pieces in the story today. The first piece that we're introduced to is a sower. A sower. And we're not told who the sower is, so we're going to think about who's the sower. The middle piece is the seed. And we're told who the seed is. Or what the seed is. The seed is the Word of God. We're told that. That much we know for certain. We can go out of here. Everybody's on the same page, right? We know the seed is the Word of God. We don't know who is absolutely meant by a sower, but we know that there is a sower involved. And we know there is seed involved in this story. And the third component to this story is the soil. The ones receiving the word. Now I want to leave you with this to think about. What part of that story are you? Where are you in this puzzle? Well, we know you're not the middle piece. You are not the Word of God. The sower sows the Word of God. The soil receives the Word of God. So let me suggest to you that you are one of two important pieces to the puzzle. You're either a sower sowing the seed, or you're a soil in need of the seed. So let me end with that. Which are you? Are you a sower, or are you the soil? And if you're soil, are you good soil? Are you good soil? Are you letting the Holy Spirit work in your life to receive the good seed? If you're a sower, understand, you've got a tremendous job. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." It's a great promise to know you go out with precious seed. Good seed. And we have it, don't we? Is not the Word of God good seed? Absolutely. We've already seen that. It will not fail. So are you a sower? Or are you a soil? You in need of becoming a sower? Or are you still just wanting to soak it up? Rain on me. Let me have some more of that seed. I love coming to church, hearing the Word of God preached, but I'm not going to do anything with it. Where are you in that story? Let's stand. Heads bowed. Attitude of prayer. Father, I pray your word has touched a special place in hearts today. I pray that folks will understand the need of being a sower. You've given us good seed. It's available to all of us here. Many of us spoke of having, gave evidence of having two or more Bibles. Lord, we can all be involved in sending the seed out. We just ask for your guidance, direction, and strength as we labor for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Pastor.